Binabati ko kayo, mga kapatid, sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. Sa pagpapatuloy ng ating Sunday School sa Christian Holiness, tayo pa rin ay nasa paksaan ng means of grace o mga kasangkapan ng biyaya na itinitindig natin sa prinsipyo that God supplies graces but He ordinarily uses ordained means to activate the Spirit and the Word, and this is through the process that begins with the goal to be holy, at inaalam natin ang mga kasalanan na dapat patayin, mga biyayang dapat linangin, mga pamantayan na ipinamumuhay natin, pero para makumpleto yan, kailangan natin ng mga kasangkapan. The execution of means completes the cycle. Sa pag-aaral natin ng means of grace, tayo ay nasa corporate means of grace at sinimula natin last week ang sacraments, and to show the importance of the sacraments, inilagay natin sa Reformed Theology of the Marks of the Church. Sa roadmap na ito, ang curve ay tumutukoy sa kung saan tayo papasok sa loob ng isang iglesia. What makes a true church or a genuine church? That is the essential mark of the proclamation of the word or the gospel. But there are two maintaining marks, and that includes the administration of the sacraments and the exercise of discipline. Pareho nating pag-aaralan ang dalawang maintaining marks na iyan. A church may be a true church at one time without the maintaining marks. Halimbawa, mali ang kanyang sakramento at walang masyadong disiplina pero nangangaral ng salita ng Diyos, isang punto, maaring totoo itong iglesia, ngunit without maintaining marks, a church will not perpetuate for generations. So the maintaining marks are important, and that includes, as we saw, the sacraments. At titingnan natin ngayon ang una sa dalawa, at ang una ay ang baptism, which is the sacrament of initiation. Now, we all know our position is that of baptism of believers in the name of the triune God, perhaps the most popular, pinakakilala na talata tungkol dito ay ang misyon na ibinigay ng Panginoong Hesus sa kanyang iglesia na kilala natin bilang the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now take note that the mission of the church is going to span the whole age until the end, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Sa makatwid, ay kasama dyan ang baptism. It will perpetuate until the end of the age. Walang panahon na hindi na kailangang magbautismo ang iglesia. Gusto ko lang mag-komento tungkol sa struktura ng mahalagang teksto na ito. This is not in your handout. I have no space to put it there, but ang mahalagang makita natin about the structure of this verse is that there is only one imperative. Isa lang ang utos dito. Maliwanag sa Griego, hindi ito tatlo, apat na utos. There is only one imperative, and that is to make disciples. That one imperative is followed by three participles. A participle is a verb that functions as an adjective. So it is an adjectival verb. Halimbawa, sabihin ko, the man is running fast. Running is just plain verb. Pero kapag sinabi kong the running man is fast, running becomes adjectival in its function. Ayan ang tinatawag na participle. So it is describing the man as running. So ganito ang three participles. They are describing the command of making disciples. In other words, how do we make disciples? There is first going, which is equivalent to what we call evangelism. Then baptizing, which I shall show, is about membership in the church. And then teaching, which is the ongoing ministry in the church of instruction. Mahalagang makita natin that these three are not alternative choices, but cluster of a single command. May mga nag-aakala na gusto ko piliin na lang mag-evangelize, mas gusto ko yun. At ayaw ko masyado ng membership or indoctrination. Hindi pwede kang mamili sapagkat iisa lang ito. Ito ay kumakatawan o naglalarawan ng pagiging o ng misyon na maggumawa ng mga alagad sa lahat ng mga bansa. So the mission of the church necessarily includes baptism of believers. So there are several questions for actually that we need to ask concerning baptism. The first is, what does baptism mean? In other words, the mode, ano bang paraan ng bautismo? Now, the insistence of immersion as the mode is a Baptist distinctive as well as followed by Baptistic churches, churches that do not fully confess Baptist distinctives, but they believe in the immersion of believers. Now, we do not question the salvation or the sincerity of brethren of other modes. Hindi yan ang point dito. In fact, we do not make the mode of baptism a primary issue of fellowship. I can even say that we can have better fellowship with Reformed Pedobaptists than non-Reformed Baptists and Immersionists. Mas mahalaga sa atin ang Reformed theology, ang pagkakilala natin ng wasto sa kung sino ang Diyos, ang kanyang pagliligtas na siyang sinasaklaw ng Reformed theology, at makakapag-fellowship tayo sa mga Reformed brethren who may not be Baptists than with Baptists who are not Reformed. So it's not a primary issue of fellowship. But why do we insist on the mode of immersion? The terminology is the basic answer. The terminology is the Greek verb baptizo, which any scholarly research will show has the fundamental sense of immersion. Ito ay paglubog. The New Testament uses this word consistently and exclusively for the sacramental act. Ito ang laging ginagamit in the verb form or in the noun form. And remember, other words in the Greek are available to speak of other modes, but they were never used of baptism. Kung totoo ang argumento ng iba na hindi mahalaga ang mode, pwedeng pagpalit-palitin, dapat sana'y makita natin na ginagamit man lang paminsan-minsan ng ibang paraan or modes, so ibang salita, kagaya halimbawa ng rantizo for sprinkling, ekeio for pouring, and krio for anointing, but never were they used as an alternative for baptizo. So the word baptizo is a term of mode and not just of result. Halimbawa, sabihin kung maglinis ka, that is a term of result. Ano man ang paraang gamitin mo para makapaglinis, maligo ka, magpunas ka, o maghugas ka, yun ay paraan. Pero ang gusto kong mangyari ay ang resulta, maging malinis ka. Pero kapag sinabi kong lumangoy ka at sumisid ka, yun ay mode. Hindi ka pwedeng lumangoy at sumisid na nag-shower ka lang. So, baptizo is a term of mode. It is telling you how it is to be done, and it is to be done by immersing. We therefore conclude that it is wrong to be neutral on the mode because it is essential to the sacramental act of baptism. Kaya sa usapin ng mode, it is not just about the symbolism but the meaning of the word. May mga nagsasabi na hindi mahalaga kung ano ang paraan basta't maisagisag kung ano ang kinakatawan ng bautismo. Eh kung gawin natin yan sa ibang salitang mahalaga sa doktrina, gaya ng dikayoo, though to justify, at sabihin natin pwede ng iba, magkakaroon tayo ng kompromiso sa mga mahalagang doktrina ng salita ng Diyos. Ganito ang bautismo kung palagian na ang ginagamit ay ang parehong salita na nangangahulugan ng paglubog, hindi tayo maaring maging maluwag sa usaping ito. Pero kahit pasabihin natin ang kinakatawan lang nito, even as covenant sign, baptism points more to the death and resurrection of Christ than any other mode. At kinamit ito ni Apostol Pablo sa Romans 6 verse 4. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So makikita natin na ang baptism ay naglalarawan ng kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli ng Panginoong Hesukristo. And if we are to use just one example, the example of Jesus is paramount. Bakit ba nabautismuhan si Jesus? Hindi siya nabautismuhan kagaya ng kailangan nating mabautismuhan to signify our union with Christ, to signify our gospel blessings, or even for church membership. I believe that one primary reason for Jesus' baptism is to set an example. At ang tanong ay, paano ba ang kaparaan ng pagkabautismo kay Jesucristo? Maliwanag sa Mark 1, 9, and 10, corroborated in the other Gospels. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Let's just focus on those words na he came up out of the water. Eh ano bang ibig sabihin yan? Na siya'y umahon mula sa tubig, that clearly indicates that Jesus was immersed. So sa atin, non-immersion is not just an inferior mode of baptism. In fact, it is not baptism at all. Now that may sound unkind, but it is not. It is just being honest to the meaning of the word. So our mode is immersion. Then the second question is, who should receive baptism? The subject of baptism. Maraming mga argumento para sa pagbabautismo ng mga bata. Pero gamitin lang natin ang argumento ng mga kapatid nating Reformed Pedobaptists. Reformed Pedobaptists use the analogy of circumcision. Sa kanila, kung gagamit tayo ng covenant sign, ang magkatumbas ay ang Abrahamic ng Old Covenant and the New Covenant in Jesus Christ. And the sign of the Abrahamic Covenant is circumcision. The sign of the New Covenant is baptism. At dito sila ngayon gumagawa ng konklusyon. Since circumcision was administered on the Israelite and his male child, then baptism should be administered to a believer and his children. Kahit dito, makikita natin there is no exact parallel because in the case of the Old Covenant, it's only the male child. In the case of the New Covenant, it is all children that they baptize. Pero ang sagot natin dyan sa paggamit ng covenant argument is that the Old Covenant was by generation whereas the New Covenant is by regeneration. Pumapasok ka sa komunidad ng Old Covenant, the Old Covenant community being Israel, pumapasok ka riyan, nabibilang ka riyan dahil nasa henerasyon ka ng mga Israelita. Pero hindi ganun sa New Covenant. The New Covenant, you get to be included into it by regeneration o kapanganakang muli ng banal na Espiritu. Even in the Old Testament, this was already predicted. Jeremiah 31 contemplates on the coming of a new covenant because the Old Covenant was broken. At ano ang karakter ng New Covenant? Verse 33, "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Kung sa Israel ang kanilang ikinabubukod, ay meron silang mga kautusan na sa lapida ng bato, pero sinuway nila. At hindi lahat ng Israelita ay mga tunay na mga mananampalataya. Pero sa makikita natin sa bagong tipanan, circumcision gives way to regeneration. You become part of the covenant community by way of regeneration and not just by generation. So the real counterpart of circumcision is circumcision of the heart, which is regeneration. So from the nation of Israel, where you get to belong by generation, it is now the universal church where you get to belong by regeneration. Kaya hindi maari na ang babautismuhan ay ang regenerate at ang anak niya na parang katulad ng sa Israel na by generation, anyone baptized should be regenerate. So ang sagot natin sa tanong, who should receive baptism? The subject of baptism must be a gospel believer and recognized by a church. Dapat isang mananampalataya na kinikilala ng isang iglesia. Makikita natin na the New Testament sustains faith baptism sequence. Liwanag sa bagtipan ng pagkakasunod ng pananampalataya at bautismo. Nakita na natin ito sa Great Commission, but just to go back to what it says, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. Who are them? The obvious answer is disciples. So you baptize disciples, not disciples and their children, hindi ang mga alagad at kanilang mga anak, kundi ang mga alagad lamang. At sa mga halimbawa o the recorded apostolic baptisms we have in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Acts, clearly they are of believers. Dalawang halimbawa lamang dito, the Ethiopian eunuch, after he was witnessed to by Philip, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Maliwanag dito na kondisyon para mabautismuhan ay ang sumampalatay sa Panginoong Heso Kristo. Isa rin pinapakita nito ay kung paanong agaran pagkatapos na magpahayag ng kanyang pananampalataya at kinilala ito, ay agad-agad ang pagbabautismo. Baptism is immediate after saving faith. And then in Acts 2:38, in conclusion to Peter's Pentecost sermon, ang kanyang challenge ay repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Ipapaliwanag ko lang that for the forgiveness of your sins does not mean it results in forgiveness of sins, but rather because of. Ang dahilan ng inyong pagpapabautismo ay dahil kayo pinatawad sa kasalanan. Pinapakita dito that baptism is administered to every individual regenerate, and one of the results of regeneration is forgiveness of sins, and then they are baptized. So one's gospel standing has primacy to baptism for membership. Nauna ang iyong katayuan sa ebanghelyo bago ang pagkamyembro mo sa iglesia. Ang ikatlong tanong, who can administer baptism? This is now the issue of administrator. And there are two extremes to avoid. Magkadulong mga mali na iwasan natin. Ang una ay nagsasabi that only an ordained minister can baptize. Parang natutulad ito sa tinatawag na sacerdotalism in the Roman Catholic position that only a priest can make or can legitimize, can validate a sacrament. Parang ganitong nangyayari dito, and some evangelical churches and some reformed churches hold this position, and we do not see this as the real administrator, not the ordained minister. On the other extreme, those who think that anybody can baptize, or even if they limit it by saying anybody in the church can baptize, makikita natin, if baptism is the act of the church, therefore the one baptizing should be acting as leader of the church, acting on behalf of the church, it cannot be anybody. Hindi naman lahat ay maaring leader ng iglesia. The right answer is that as a sacrament, baptism is administered by a church. Ang iglesia ang nangangasiwa ng bautismo. But of course, it's not all the members who can do the baptizing. So normally and usually, it will be the minister acting for the church. But in the absence of the minister, it may be other male leaders duly recognized by the church, particularly the officers, because they have already undergone recognition by the church. Makikita natin sa Ephesians 4 na isinama ang bautismo sa kinakaisa ng iglesia. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, etc. So baptism is included in the oneness of the church. Therefore, baptism is valid because of the church. So the validity of baptism does not rest on the individual baptizing, but on the gospel standing of the baptizing church. Halimbawa na lamang kung nabautismuhan ka ng isang tao na later on ay naging apostate, does that invalidate your baptism? No. Judas was one of the apostles who baptized during the ministry of Jesus on earth. That does not invalidate anyone baptized by Judas because he was acting on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the case of the present, we are acting on behalf, or baptism is being done on behalf of the church. The final question is, what does baptism do? The significance. And here we reject baptismal regeneration. This is unevangelical. It violates the gospel. Baptismal regeneration holds that baptism is an essential means of salvation. Eh, sinong naniniwala dyan? Of course, the Roman Catholic Church. That's why they call baptism christening. Eh, merong bisa na gawing Kristiyano ang bata sa pamamagitan ng binyag. And many cults teach that one is saved by baptism, among others. Now, para sa atin, baptism is necessary not to be saved, but it is necessary for one who is saved. Mahalaga ito, hindi para maligtas, ngunit lubhang kailangan ng isang naligtas. Sa Acts 2:47, sinabi ang Iglesia ng Jerusalem, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, ang mga inililigtas ay idinaragdag sa iglesia. Hindi kabaligtad na pagkadagdag sa iglesia, doon naligtas. Therefore, do not elevate baptism above the gospel. That's one attitude to avoid. But on the other hand, do not belittle its importance for believers. Huwag mong isipin na kailangan ng bautismo para maging mananampalataya. Pero kung mananampalataya ka na, huwag mo namang sabihin hindi mo na kailangan ng bautismo. The right answer to that significance is that baptism is a sacrament of union with Christ's death and resurrection. And as a sacrament, it signifies, it is emblematic, it is a physical sign. Just to make the point, baptism does not effect union with Christ. It is a sacrament that signifies the death, our union with Christ's death and resurrection. So, what does it do to the unchurched believer? It is the means of entry into the local church membership. So, it is how it becomes a means of grace to the unchurched. It becomes his entry. Acts 2:41, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Pansin ninyong pinagtugtong ang pagkabautismo nila at ang pagkadagdag nila sa iglesia. Para naman sa mga miyembro ng iglesia, may significance din ang baptism. Every time we witness baptism, we accept someone baptized into fellowship. Kaya means of grace ito dahil nabubunga ang fellowship sa iglesia. And it is also a time to refresh the gospel. Refresh your union with Christ. Colossians 2 verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. So again, the sacrament of baptism is refreshing our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. So baptism is a sacramental means of grace. And as a sacrament, it is a physical sign pointing to the gospel. Kaya yan ang halaga ng bautismo. Kaya ituwid natin ang ating pag-iisip pagdating sa bautismo sa iglesia. Ang tamang pag-iisip, baptism is a sacrament of initiation into the church. Therefore, I will regard baptism as an essential part of the mission of my church. Kung ganyan ang pagpapahalaga mo sa bautismo, ang tamang ugali, I will seek by God's grace to refresh my union with Christ at every instance of baptism in my church. Kaya kapag may bautismo sa iglesia, ituturo ka nito kay Jesucristo at pananariwain ang iyong pagkakalakip sa kanya. Ang makasalanang pag-iisip, lalo't sa isang miyembro, ay gawin itong dahilan ng paghahambog. I see baptism as a good sign of numerical growth for my church. Hindi mali na magalak tayo sa karagdagan sa iglesia, pero kung hanggang doon lang, ay hindi mo nakikita ang pagkasakramento ng bautismo. At mauwi ito sa pagyayabang na I will seek to have others baptized as it affirms my Baptist position. Baptism does not point to your Baptist position. Baptism points to the Lord Jesus Christ and to refresh our union with Him. Kaya sa tuwing may binabautismoan sa ating iglesia, ang hamon ko ay rejoice in the baptism of a new member, refreshing your union with Christ. Welcome sa ating newest member in our latest baptism, at paalala sa atin na sa pamagitan ng bautismo ay may tinatanggap tayo sa pag-uugnayan ng iglesia, kaya't namumunga ang fellowship sa iglesia, pananariwa din ito sa ating pagkakalakip sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya't maging handa tayo sa kagalakang pangkatawan ng iglesia sa tuwing may pagbabautismo, at mapanariwa sa atin ang kamatayan at pagkabuhay na muli ni Jesucristo tungo sa ating kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang at kayo ay pagpalain mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisa ng banal na Espiritu.